Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Thank you for listening to AFR. And for a lot of you, this is a bad weather last 24, 48 hours, and we certainly hope that you are safe and paying attention. I know you are to what might happen today and for the people in the East tomorrow. But it's springtime in the good old U.S. of A., where the Gulf of Mexico clashes with Canadian air, right in Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas, and then moves across the country. But we experience this every year. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, or a couple of days ago, and said, I'm going to have to postpone my phone call with you because I think I'm going to have to leave. We let the staff off at 4 o'clock on Monday because of the chances of bad weather. And I said, you got earthquakes? We got tornadoes. He emailed me back and said, I'll take my chances with my earthquakes. But anyway, Walker Wildman in the studio with me. Ed's gone. Ray's not here, so Walker's with me today as co-host. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Abraham Hamilton III, Abe. He's usually only on Wednesdays, but we pulled him in for this show for an hour today. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you once again.
All right, we got so much to talk about. Sandy Rios is going to be with us later. Jan Markell is going to be with us later. So we got a lot of very interesting things to talk about, but sadly, we leave the news with a tragedy out of Texas.
Yeah, I came into the office last evening to do some work, and the headline that I saw was just horrific. You know, many churches across the country have these, they call them turtle top buses. They seat about 15 people. And First Baptist Church in New Braunfels, Texas, in case you don't know where that is, about 75 miles west of San Antonio. There were a group of seniors coming back from a gathering yesterday. It was around 12:30, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, returning back to their church at the First Baptist Church there in New Braunfels. And something happened. There was a head-on collision with a pickup truck. And when it was over, 13 people aboard that church bus were dead. This group of seniors. The driver of the pickup truck survived. There was one person that was aboard the church bus that had survived. Federal investigators and others are on the scene this morning trying to figure out what went wrong. We just do not know at this point, but our hearts go out. I went to the webpage of the church last night, and obviously they're in deep shock. They had canceled last night's services. There are counselors at the church today to help with families. You just stop and think about this, guys, because the churches we go to, many of them have seniors groups. Mm-hmm. They go away on these trips. They're mostly retired folks. They do these little trips. And you can only imagine that getting the news on a Wednesday night at your church last night that 13 of your members have died. And so our hearts, our prayers go out to these folks today. On our newscast this morning, we had an interview with the pastor of the church, and he said it just serves as a reminder to all of us that life is short, and you don't know what's going to happen on a given day. Mm-hmm. And we need to be thankful for God's safety each day that he gives us. But hearts and prayers today going out to the dear folks at First Baptist Church there in New Braunfels, Texas.
Wow. Do you know if there's any, was there any survivors or any injured?
One person from the bus is, I believe, in critical condition at a hospital in San Antonio, and the driver of the pickup truck did survive. So obviously, in some ways, it is good we have at least two survivors there, because this was a kind of one of those lonely back roads in Texas, a two-way road on, you know, in a fairly remote area. But we have two people who witnessed what happened, so we're going to figure out what went wrong. The weather was excellent, so it's not weather-related. We know that. So we're anxious
those,
to see what—
Those buses are very heavy and big. When I saw the picture, of course, maybe on scene it's a different— you can understand things more, but the bus, I mean, the front end was damaged, but the rest of the bus didn't seem much damaged. But maybe the speed of the collision caused most of the carnage.
And one of the things too with these buses, many times, and I don't know if this is the case here, but they don't have seat belts.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Especially your big buses, because I'm on them all the time. They don't have seat belts. Mm-hmm. And if the bus turns over, you know, you're going to have a bunch of people bouncing around inside of. And if you're older people, mm-hmm. especially, it's you could see how you know an accident where younger people might survive, older people don't. Right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, are we live streaming on Facebook?
We are. We're live streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page. And so you can go there, watch the show, comment. I'll post all the stories. And one other thing I wanted to mention is sometimes our viewers on Facebook say, well, I can't see Abe's face or I can't see Tim's face. Mm-hmm. So, but the good news is in the coming weeks, we're going to get some different camera angles and make some adjustments in here. So it'll be more viewer friendly.
Okay, that's coming up.
Yep, that's coming up.
I don't know if anybody wants to see more of this face.
Well, they're going to see it.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame them.
All right, well, a lot to talk about in the news. Again, Sandy Rios will be with us in a little bit. We look forward to talking to her. She's got some exciting things to share about what she's been doing on behalf of AFA in Washington, D.C. Well, our President Trump, this morning,
just a few moments ago,
he got out the tweet phone that I told him he should put up.
He tweeted his tweeter.
He needs to put up the tweet phone, but he won't do it. What did he tweet now?
Well, the Freedom Caucus, just very quickly, in case you don't know, they are the very conservative members of the Republican Party. They were in the news a lot with regards to the whole replacement for Obamacare. This is what President Trump tweeted out just a short time ago. Quote, "The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team and fast. We must fight them and Dems in 2018! End quote.
Idiots. Sorry, I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
That's a stupid. That's
word.
That is. With all due respect to the president, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. And you know, with President Trump. We knew going in one day it's a roller coaster ride. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
You're going to be going, man, that is so awesome. And then the next day you're going, man, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh,
man. You know, so that's we all know that our eyes were wide open, Abe. Am I right?
No, you're right.
But now you would think that he would know better. You would hope he would know better than to make the Freedom Caucus the enemy.
Yeah.
Because now, if you want to argue with him behind closed doors, maybe he said he had his say last Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When he went after Heritage and Ben?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The Freedom Caucus are guys he's going to need on his team to lead the way in the coming months. So he does not need to be doing any. Well, he did need to do that. That's not good.
Just a little bit of background for everybody. You know, this goes back to the initial failure of the Republicans to come up with a repeal and replace of Obamacare. They didn't hold the vote last Friday. There wasn't a consensus, and it now appears President Trump did not initially blame the Freedom Caucus for not getting on board, but he certainly is now. One of the members of the Freedom Caucus is Congressman Jim Jordan. He was interviewed
from Ohio.
He was interviewed just a few moments ago on Fox News, and he was asked, "What's your reaction to President Trump's tweet?"
Look, the Freedom Caucus is trying to change Washington. This bill keeps Washington the same, plain and simple. This bill doesn't fully repeal Obamacare. This bill doesn't lower premiums. And probably most importantly, this bill doesn't unite Republicans and the American people, as evidenced by the fact that only 17% of the country supports this legislation. So we appreciate the president. We're trying to help the president. But the fact is, you got to look at the legislation. And it doesn't do what we told the voters we're going to do. And the American people understand that. That's why only 17% of the population supports this legislation.
You know, I was reading, that was Jim Jordan. He's leader of the Freedom Caucus. Abe, I was reading about this situation last week during the negotiations. Now, in trying to be fair about this, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of President Trump. He's trying to get this legislation passed. Paul Ryan and some of the others in leadership in the Republican are trying to say, we need to do this. This is the best way to do this. We need to get this victory and move on to tax reform. But we got these guys over here, you know, these House Freedom guys, the Freedom Caucus guys, that just, man, they're always saying no and blocking us and wanting to do this, that, and the other, and we just can't do that, Mr. President. So he's listening to all that, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I think he is hurt. This is where he's at. Let me put this way. This is where he's at a disadvantage to a certain extent. I'm talking about President Trump. He's not a policy wonk, all right?
Right.
When I was reading about these meetings, and this was off the record, or not off the record, but this was anonymous sources, mm-hmm. so take that into consideration. But they were quoting some guys from the Freedom Caucus who were in the meetings with President Trump when he was trying to woo them
mm-hmm.
last week. And from all accounts, he did concede mm-hmm. some things and say, we're going to do these things in phase two and phase three that you guys want done, but help us get phase one passed first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Freedom Caucus, the two or three people I saw said that the president did not seem to have a grasp mm-hmm. of the details of the issues that were at stake. That he mm-hmm. That he was more of a general big picture, okay, let's do this. You guys got to get on board. You got to be team players. And they were going, but Mr. President, A, B, C, these are why we can't go for this.
Right.
And he didn't seem to understand that, A.
Right, and I think the biggest mistake in this entire thing, and some people may not like this, but this is my opinion, mm-hmm. was him trusting Paul Ryan to lead the charge in this endeavor. Because there's some... for example, Representative Louis Gohmert and Representative Massey explaining that, listen, the things that they are telling the president that this bill does, it does not do.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It doesn't do these
right.
things. And so before, you know, the president trains his guns on the Freedom Caucus, he probably should look a little bit closer to those whom he trusted to lead this repeal and replace effort to begin with.
Yeah.
And I've said repeatedly, and I'll say now, it sounds good. I know that's alliteration, repeal and replace.
Mm-hmm.
But the consistent thing that seems to happen over and over again, that the Democrats make bold moves and then the Republicans respond. Prior to Obamacare, you never heard any Republicans saying we need a top-down Washington-based health insurance legislation mm-hmm. coming from Washington, D.C.
Right.
But once Obamacare passes, now the Republicans immediately pivot and now they're saying we want to do our version of Obamacare. And so once again, Republicans are playing defense in response to an aggressive move made by the
now,
Democrats.
Now, also, the president, and Walker, you might want to comment on, the president and his team, his senior advisors, are saying things that are contradictory. Let me give you an example. This is why this is not unusual for a new administration to sort of, you know, have trouble getting off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember Reince Priebus, the chief of staff. Reince, is it Reince?
Reince,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Reince Priebus, the former Republican National Committeeman, chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last week we played the clip of him saying this president is nonpartisan.
He said that on the Sunday shows.
He said, do you still have that? Okay. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he's nonpartisan. This is the chief of staff for the president, the former RNC chair, saying this president is nonpartisan. All right. If that's true, then why does the president say this? The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda. You get where I'm going right here?
I clearly get where you're
okay,
going.
Okay. Yeah. So the president is saying this is a Republican agenda. The chief of staff is saying he's a nonpartisan president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it both ways.
No.
So there is a war going on inside the White House now for which ideologically and which way they're going to go. One of the weaknesses of the president is that he has no fixed ideological some would say that's good, but he has no fixed ideological worldview. That's just a fact. He has good... I've said before, he has basically conservative instincts, if you listen to him talk, on most issues, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, and he is willing at times to try to learn what is the best conservative position on this, i.e. the judges.
Uh-huh.
So I give him credit for that. But the war is when you get guys in there who are part of the Republican establishment.
Yeah.
And by establishment, I mean the people who don't really want to change Washington, but they pretend that they do.
Yep.
And they don't like the Freedom Caucus guys because the Freedom Caucus guys shine the spotlight. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the Freedom Caucus guys are always right every time. I don't know. But I would say the vast majority of the time, they are correct in their analysis of whether something is actually going to do what the Republican establishment says it's going to do.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So did you find that clip, Brent? Okay. Well, we'll hear it and see if it is. And again, this is Reince Priebus, and he's talking about the health bill and what happened. This quote is a few days old. That's music.
National Security Advisor.
That's not it. Forget it. Anyway, I got you get. We all remember what he said.
Yeah, he came on the Sunday shows a couple of days after the health care bill fell, and he essentially was saying he shifted from the Democratic. It's the Democrats' fault. To then, this was the morning of Trump first tweeting on Sunday that it's the Freedom Caucus's fault, and then so Reince Priebus, his goal was essentially to say. We have a nonpartisan president. He's willing to work with the Democrats, et cetera.
Right.
But the most concerning thing about this is that he's only been in office 2 months, 2.5 months. And this is the first major legislation or the first legislation period that the Freedom Caucus has butted heads with the president on.
Right.
And what's concerning is all it takes is one bill that a couple members of a Freedom Caucus don't agree with.
And you're saying we have to defeat them?
And you want to primary them?
Right.
Okay, right. Well, the Freedom Caucus has been butting heads with Paul Ryan and John Boehner for the last 6 years. And is it time for us to primary Paul Ryan as a Freedom Caucus?
Right.
You know, disagreeing on one bill, that's
you know what? You know
that's
what,
called America.
You know what President Trump needs? I'll tell him right now, and he can tweet me if he wants to. He needs Newt Gingrich. Desperately. He needs Newt Gingrich to come in and take over. And I'm talking about take over him and take over the White House and take over the legislative agenda. I would say, Newt, give me 1 year. You've got to help us if I'm President Trump. And he trusts Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is a good friend of his. The reason I say that, Newt Gingrich has a world of experience in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. He was Speaker of the House when a lot of things got done. He is a conservative and not a phony one. And he understands our worldview, too, the Christian conservatives, because he's spoken at a lot of events that we've been a part of, that I know people who put on. And he understands fully what we're talking about, where we're coming from. And he understands the legislative process. I would say, Newt, if I were President Trump, I'd say, Newt, give me a year. Let's use your experience. Anyway, Abe, go ahead.
No, I think Newt Gingrich was expecting a appointment of some sorts, but I think he wasn't offered what he wanted. But
I'd offer it to him now. Really?
And at a minimum, he could help him navigate the treachery that is Congress, at a minimum. I think he could be helpful because, as you highlighted, Newt Gingrich was the speaker at a pretty tumultuous time to be a Republican in Washington, D.C., which led to Bill Clinton having a Republican Congress in his second term, and which led to welfare reform that Bill Clinton takes all the credit for, but it really was a product of Republican Congress.
I think what has to happen is that, you know, the election campaign is over. There are a lot of things that are said in the election campaign, like drain the swamp and do all of that. The kind of the gunslinger attitude, that belongs in the campaign. Now you've got to govern. And now you need somebody like Newt Gingrich, is a great suggestion, to come in. And it's not that you give up on your strategy. It's how you present it to the American public. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you do it by tweeting out, we're going to take on a big segment of the Republican Party and the Dems and going to the primaries. No. Now, Jim Jordan was asked about this morning. He was asked specifically, and this is Shannon Bream, the host on Fox News, what do you make, though, of Trump's reference to 2018 fighting you and the Dems? Do you think he's talking about primary challenges? Where is the president going with that? This is how Jim Jordan responded to that question.
I mean, look, I'm not here to assign blame to anyone. I'm not here to point to the future. What I'm focused on doing is doing what we told the voters we're going to do, Shannon. And this bill doesn't do that, plain and simple. And the American people understand it. That's why they don't support it. We're trying to change it. We're working with our colleagues to actually put in place those issues or those changes to the bill that will bring down premiums, lower the cost of insurance for middle-class families across this country. That's what we told them we were going to do. That's what we're focused on doing. So let's just focus on that. Let's forget the blame and what may happen in the future. Let's just do what we said, and that's what the Freedom Caucus and that's what Republicans are committed to.
You know, the Freedom Caucus, Jim Jordan, he's a congressman from Ohio from the Freedom Caucus, reacting to President Trump's tweet this morning. You know, President Trump already took his shot at him on, was it Sunday I mentioned? Mm-hmm. And this is Thursday. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he wakes up this morning and says, that Freedom Caucus, I'm going to have to hit them a lick again. Somebody needs to go in, Vice President Pence or somebody, Walker, and tell the president this is not helpful. These guys are not the enemy. Mm-hmm. And if you do have problems with them, we need to solve this behind closed doors.
Right.
You don't need to be blasting them with your Twitter account. Go ahead.
Yeah, if the president's truly wanting to get this worked out, this health care bill, so it'll pass with majority of Republicans.
Right. By the way, we're going to talk to Sandy Rios about that because we're hearing that the another health care bill may be brought up in May, which will be the real repeal.
Yeah. President Trump needs to bring in Paul Ryan to the White House and say, let me get this right, Mr. Ryan. You've been House Speaker for, 2 to 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you've been wanting to repeal and replace Obamacare. And when I say repeal, I mean repeal Obamacare for 6-7 years. And you have not had enough time to meet with 200-plus Republicans in Congress and agree on something and have it all planned out.
And have the votes there before you take them, involved in this.
And he needs to say, so what have you been doing the past 3 years?
I think he calls him Paul now.
Right. So he needs to ask Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's the head honcho in the House side.
Yeah.
And so it's his responsibility. It's not the Freedom Caucus's fault.
Abe, how about a tweet like this from President Trump? Only 17% of Americans supported this health care bill that we were going to vote on. Obviously, it's not popular. Need to do something else. Didn't I go over the character number right there?
I think you did, but I think that would be an awesome tweet.
Huh? You think evidently we did something. We have something unpopular. We're going to go back to the drawing board. How about that?
That would be the tweet.
Yeah.
That would be the proper and right usage of the Twitter.
Right.
And then ask Paul, why is this?
I would ask Speaker Ryan, man, we only got 17% approval for this. This is
not Obamacare. We're not going to pass something the American people hate.
Right.
Well, again, I just don't think that's helpful. For President Trump to go after the Freedom Caucus, for goodness sakes.
And that makes me worry what happened that caused him to go from initially it was the Democrats that caused the implosion initially.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jared Kushner comes back from his trip. Mm-hmm. Now it's Heritage and whoever else. And then today it's the Freedom Caucus and the Dems. Like what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now the president's calling it the Republican, what do you call it? The Republican agenda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't call it that during the campaign, did he?
I thought it was the Trump agenda
during
the campaign.
Drain the swamp.
Right.
That bothers me.
Sound like to me, the Republican establishment has gotten in there,
mm-hmm.
gotten in his ear, and said, hey, these conservative hardliners, mm-hmm. We need to take them out.
Because if you get them out of the way, then smooth sailing.
Right, right, right. Well, we'll see what happens here. We all knew it was going to be a roller coaster ride, and tomorrow we could be on here going, what a wonderful move by President Trump on A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the quiz.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The love of one's country. That's what patriotism is, according to Noah Webster. You know the dictionary guy? Well, we're going to be being patriots when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in September. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. September 20th through the 24th, we're going to be seeing our nation's capital. We've taken thousands of people over the years to do this, and people sometimes come back for a second and third time. We're going to be seeing our nation's capital from a distinctively Christian perspective with historian Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. Now, we're also going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to do that trip. That's September 17th through the 20th. So those are two separate trips. You can do one or you can do both. We'd love to have you and your family. For more information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. Space is filling up. Hope to see you in September.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary. Next, Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University. Committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Duck Dynasty was a modern-day version of Mayberry, a television show that celebrated faith and family and ducks. It was back in 2012 that A&E introduced us to the Robertson family of West Monroe, Louisiana. Bill and Miss Kay, Uncle Cy, Willie, and Jace, over the years, they became one of the most popular reality shows on television. And among all of us gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables, they were beloved. One of the most poignant moments in each episode happened around the dinner table as the family held hands and prayed, a scene that was once considered controversial by A&E. And, of course, liberals detested the Robertson family. Rolling Stone called them a bunch of hypocritical Christian right hillbillies. But in truth, the Robertsons are good people, Christian people, who spoke truth to a very intolerant culture. They made television family-friendly again. And that's a fact, Jack. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. With Walker Wildman, check out our Facebook Live video stream, Facebook Live for Today's Issues. You can comment on the show there. Walker's also posting articles, original sources about the stories that we're talking about that are in the news, and we hope that you will take advantage of that. You can listen to us on AFR.net or on our app, or download the app on your cell phone or your iPad or similar device. And take you about 60 seconds, and then you can listen anywhere in the world to American Family Radio, as long as you have internet access, and clear as a bell, right on your cell phone or your iPad or, as I say, similar device. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is with us for the next 30 minutes, and he's got to go get ready for his afternoon program on Urban Family. What time's your show come on, Urban Family?
3 p.m. Central. I'm on 3 to 4 Central Standard Time every day.
Okay, so if people listen to American Family Radio, Urban Family Communications, or the Urban Family Network is our sister network, geared more toward the urban community, African-American community. But your show, you don't have a color.
I sound just like I sound here.
Right. So you don't care. What I'm saying is you don't care what color people are who listen to your show on Urban Family.
No, not at all. And in fact, it's a misnomer that you have a skin color melanin content prerequisite for espousing biblical values. You know, and part of the reason why
I would high five you on that, but I can't reach that far across the room.
Air five.
Amen. Air five. All right. So anyway, so if people want to listen to your show this afternoon on Urban Family, what do they need to do?
You can go to urbanfamilytalk.com. You can see what the stations are in your area if you get in your area, or you can listen live right there on the website.
Okay.
You can also at urbanfamilytalk.com. Yes.
And that's Will and Mickey Addison and their team, and Abe's a part of that. And he does an afternoon show on Urban Family, which is a part of the American Family radio network. Fred Jackson with us from One News Now and AFR.net. Well, Jan Markell is with us. Jan joins us every other week. Olive Tree Ministries. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, is it springtime in Minnesota yet?
A couple of days ago, it finally hit. We have about 3 months of nice weather up here.
I don't think the Minnesota tourism people are going to hire you, Jan. I just can't see it. Come to Minnesota, but make sure you come in January, February. I mean, make sure you come in the summer. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, they can come visit in June, July, August, and I promise it'll be nice.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what are you, what's on your mind today with the ministry? What are you guys working on?
Well, I'm going to be doing this weekend part two of my two-part series with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. I did part one last weekend, and this weekend we're actually going to talk about a little bit about, well, if I can be so bold, it's just to say the kind of the blunt facts behind the problems with health care. And Michelle is just very, very honest about how she perceives the situation having kind of fallen apart, and she was not surprised at all. But, you know, we've got some character issues in Washington, gentlemen, and I think that's kind of the state of the world, really, is we've got character issues all around the world.
What would you're talking about former Congresswoman Bachman, Michelle Bachman from Minnesota,
yeah.
And she was probably a member of the Freedom Caucus, I would guess.
And I think they miss her outspokenness, but I'll tell you, and I'm a friend of hers, and I can tell you that outspokenness, well, you pay a terrible price for it. I mean, you're really persecuted. As a matter of fact, NBC News this past weekend did a national story on Michelle's husband. He's in the counseling business. He has his own business, and they keep accusing him of being guilty of, you know, praying away the gay, and nothing wrong with that, trying to pray away any homosexual tendencies and actions. And he insists he does not counsel that way. But nonetheless, they did a big blasting job on him last weekend, NBC News. So, I mean, and he's outspoken, too, just in a kind of a different way. All of us know that being a conservative, we get more persecution than Muslims get. So that's kind of the way it is.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. One of the primary interests of your organization, Jan, is to monitor the situation with Israel and our relationship. Mm-hmm. America's relationship to Israel and what's going on. What do you know? Who's going to handle that diplomatically? Is that going to be our relationship to Israel?
Well, right now, at least in the United Nations, it is Nikki Haley. Obviously, there's a number of other people in other positions. And I would think some of you gentlemen may have caught Nikki's comments at AIPAC, that's American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or else Public Action Committee. But anyway, it's called AIPAC. This was just a few days ago. Nikki Haley addressed AIPAC, and she said that she just, and I'm quoting her here, the days of Israel bashing are over.
Yeah.
And the audience, of course, received that. And remember, AIPAC is basically a far left of center organization. And they, I've been to a few of their meetings, and I find them a little bit troubling, but I'll tell you, they received her more warmly than I have ever seen any Jewish organization receive an American politician, particularly a conservative American politician, because Jews are traditionally very liberal, and they would prefer to be hearing the liberal politicians. So she was very blunt and just said it's a new day for Israel-American relations, and it is.
It is, absolutely. It's Fred Jackson here.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I heard what she had to say to the AIPAC meeting. And I tell you what, I was reminded of Speak Softly and Carry a Big Stick.
Mm-hmm.
And former Governor Nikki Haley of South Carolina, now the ambassador to the UN. It's a brand new day. I've heard her talk in recent weeks. She went to her first Security Council meeting, and she basically told him, hey, listen, I'm not going to bother coming back here because everything is anti-Israel here. I'd like to get your reaction, Jan, if I could. I saw the announcement, I think it was last evening, that Israel has announced that it is cutting back its funding to the United Nations. I think they fund the United Nations now, the Nation of Israel, $11 million a year. They're cutting back by $4 million on that.
Yes.
I don't think they would have done that under Barack Obama. Because
Israel pays money to be in the UN?
Yeah, well,
can you believe that?
That was the number one shock. That's a bad
investment. I might pay my parking ticket, you know, my parking bill and lunch, pay for lunches for my staff. That's about it if I'm Israel at the UN.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, paying a gang of thugs to beat you over the head.
Literally.
Why do you do that? But anyway, they have the courage now in Israel to cut back at least some of the money that they're giving to the United Nations. And I credit Nikki Haley and their encouragement from her.
Yeah, and you gentlemen make a very good point. What is with this insanity that we pay millions of dollars to be beaten up and marginalized all around the world? Yes, they are going to they immediately have cut back, and they're also disturbed about the boycott, defest, sanction movement. But I noticed that story last night, Fred, that they have cut back their giving to the United Nations. And I think I was shocked, like the rest of you, that they even are giving to the United Nations. I think they will continue to. They've just cut it way back. And I think America's in the process of doing the same.
Well, I have to ask, we were talking earlier in the hour, Jan, before you came on, you know, one day for President Trump, you're going to cheer him on, and the next day you're going to go, what are you doing? Why are you saying this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But so back to the good side, good Donald, okay, then you have to give him credit for getting that Nikki Haley and the way they've taken on the UN here. You wouldn't see any other president do that, I don't think, would you?
I don't think so, and I think it goes back to, and Michelle Bachman and I talk about this a little bit on air both last week and this weekend as well. I think it goes back to the fact that Donald Trump is not an ideologue. He's not committed to being a Republican.
He doesn't have a fixed worldview.
No,
he has President Trump has basic instincts. That are conservative for the most part.
Okay?
For the most part.
That is correct.
So we can look at it like that. But he, unlike Senator Cruz, for example, he doesn't have a fixed constitutional or biblical worldview. So that's just a fact we have to deal with. So but he's still doing some very good things. You just cited one, Nikki Haley in the United Nations. I don't think with any other presidential candidate, save Ted Cruz, would we have gotten such a strong pro-American, pro-Israel voice in the United Nations? Jan, talk about your radio show and how people can listen. Well, we want people to listen on American Family Radio. They do. You have a very strong following here on AFR. You said part two is coming up this weekend with your interview.
Part two with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. Haney is the author of See Something, Say Nothing. Homeland Security specialist. It's his story of having been virtually shut down as a Homeland Security official starting in about 2006. He was shut down, so covered a couple administrations. In other words, they wouldn't let him tell the truth about Islam in America. So you can listen, AFR people, Saturday at 1 Central, Sunday at 12 noon Central, and think we're on the Inspiration Network at 11 a.m.
No, Jan. No. Please don't start promoting everybody else.
No, that's our network.
On American Family. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Oh, I thought you were talking about some other radio network.
No, you go right ahead. No, it's your network. Your non-talk network.
I'm so embarrassed.
No, I would never do that, Tim. No.
I'm just kidding. There are a lot of wonderful Christian radio networks and television besides just AFR, maybe one or two.
Well, let me say this. They don't have the tuned-in people that, and I say this almost every time I'm with you, fellas, they don't have the tuned-in people that AFR has, and that's because you guys are doing this kind of programming all the time, which is raising the awareness level of listeners.
Yeah. Hey, Jan, thank you. Keep up the good work. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That's Jan Markell. Her show is excellent, and it's heard Saturdays and Sundays here on AFR. We have a lot of people who make comment that they listen to Jan Markell's program. It's from it's called Understanding the Times, and it's from 1 to 2 on Saturday, 1 to 2 Central Time. And Sunday it comes on at noon Central Time here on American Family Radio. Jan will probably have to keep her job. The Minnesota Department of Tourism will not be calling her. Maybe they'll call her to do a spot that says, I'm Jan Markell. I've been in Minnesota all my life. Please come to our state in June, July, and August. Otherwise, you might as well stay home. Actually, I've been to Minnesota in September, late September, and it's beautiful there. So you do get a fall. It's just, a lot of the country has fall in November. Yeah. But in Minnesota,
fall a little earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, Labor Day, you could be having the leaves change color. But anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what do we have on our Facebook Live page?
Well, I posted Abraham Hamilton III. I posted his Hamilton Corner Facebook page, so our listeners can go there and read more about his show, what time, and where they can find it. And I also share Jen Markell's Facebook page.
Okay, cool.
So if listeners want to go there and follow her and find out when her show is programming.
And Jan reminded me, because my show airs on AFR on Saturdays at noon, too. Right before hers comes on at 1.
Okay. On Saturdays?
On Saturdays.
So back to back, Abe and Jan, listen to their shows on American Family Radio. Don't forget, folks, we got Share-a-thon next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So be in prayer about Share-a-thon for us. That's our twice a year time when we tell our listeners, hey, this ain't free.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta have financial support. So we pass a virtual offering plate here on the radio, and our listeners always respond. So we ask you to pray about that with us, because AFR is an important voice to the Christian community, and we need financial help to be able to accomplish our mission.
And I would say it's even more important now than maybe
ever
in times before, because you see the good Donald, bad Donald we have going on, and there's some who have a tendency to say, oh, well, Donald Trump's in office, everything's all well, ease up off the gas pedal, when I would suggest, no, the opposite is necessary. Right. Now is the time to press in even more. So I just wanted to echo your sentiment concerning prayer and considering supporting AFA going forward.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Sandy Rios with us now. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American. She's not?
Will be with us.
She will be with us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm trusting you, Walker. Sandy, you hear from Sandy?
Do I need to impersonate Sandy?
No. Sandy said she could be on with us. Something must have come up, so maybe she'll be on with us momentarily. We shall see. All right, Fred.
All right.
Hit us with some more good news, Fred.
Unfolding in Washington. I think everybody knows the FBI director. His name is James Comey.
Right.
Here's the story that's propped up and that come up in the last 24 hours. Newsweek magazine basically broke this story. Apparently, last June or July, FBI Director James Comey went to the White House, and he held a meeting with then-Secretary of State John Kerry, Attorney General Loretta Lynch, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, and National Security Advisor Susan Rice. The purpose of the meeting? James Comey, FBI Director, wanted to write an editorial, an op-ed, for the New York Times, telling the world that he believed the Russians were trying to meddle with the presidential election. Now, you would think, here he's meeting with all the top dogs except President Obama himself, saying, I've got evidence that the Russians are meddling with the presidential election. This is last June or July, okay? We're in the midst of the campaign. The answer they gave him was, no, we do not want you telling the American people that you know the Russians are meddling in our election.
Now, meddling or attempting to meddle?
About Russia's meddling in the presidential election. He believed at the time that this was the case. This is last summer.
Mm-hmm. Is this confirmed?
It has not been disputed. Anything that I have read so far have not disputed James Comey's this account. All right? So it leads to the question, why would they say no? Why would they say no at this point? It leads us to speculate. One of the pieces of speculation is he knew this, but they also knew that in gathering the intelligence that apparently James Comey had at this point, if he went public with his story, we would also learn that the White House had gone to the court, FISA, to do some intelligence gathering, and maybe these people gathered in that room with James Comey also knew that in their incidental pickup of intelligence, they were getting information about some of Trump's people perhaps getting in contact with the Russians, and they were unmasking those names at that time.
Well, it bothers me, though, Fred, if that's accurate.
That's where we are with it.
Okay, it would bother me as an American that my FBI director would be wanting to write editorials.
Right.
Huh? About anything,
except
for, I love springtime and babies and, bluebirds. But other than that, he shouldn't be. I understand your point, but anyway, we don't know. Where'd you get that source? Where's your source?
This is a Newsweek story. This is Newsweek.
Newsmax or Newsweek?
Newsmax is talking about the Newsweek.
Newsweek. Okay, yeah, I got all right. You. I got story. You. Interesting. Well, yep. We'll see where that goes. I'm sure that'll be talked about today. Is Sandy on now?
We have Sandy with us.
Sandy Rios with us, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio, 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning, and Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. I've actually been with you a long time. You just couldn't hear me talking. I was saying, yes, I'm here. Yeah. And so
Aren't you glad you didn't say anything?
I didn't talk about you.
I'm shouting.
I said nothing.
That's good, because nobody would have heard, right?
that's one of the most frustrating things is when you'll be on a cell phone conversation with somebody. And you can hear them, but they can't hear you.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Sometimes it's a blessing.
True. Yeah. Sometimes it is. Well, Sandy, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't want to ask you. You deal with a lot of things that not necessarily are on the record, I would say, in your position with American Family Association, Director of Governmental Affairs. But you've had communications with you. You're steeped in the real conservative movement in Washington, and go ahead and tell us what's going on.
I can tell you this, that I was at the White House yesterday. Actually, the New York Times just leaked the meeting. I don't know who leaked it, but the article just came out, and there are certainly things about it I can't talk about, but it was a group of us who spoke to people,
White House officials.
White House officials. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And basically communicated a lot of concerns and also support, support right. for the things that we could support, concerns over the things that we right. have concerns about. My particular, I can tell you what I said because it's me and I can tell them what I said. I communicated to them that and believe me, there were a broad spectrum of conversations from healthcare to the new budget. To immigration, to the executive orders on lifting the power plant draconian rules and all kinds of stuff. So it was all over the spectrum. But my part of it was I communicated to them as best I could that there is so much confusion on the LGBT issues, and it is creating chaos in our country. and something has to be done. And I told them the story of, I believe it was last week, it was certainly recently in Disney World, where a very manly Hispanic male walked into a very busy bathroom, a women's bathroom in Disneyland, the women were just shocked. And they watched, he leaned up against the wall, stared at them, just kind of leered. And women were changing their babies' diapers. They were trying to cover up their babies. Then he started walking around the stalls, peering in between the cracks, and just leering. And the point of the person who was in that bathroom was that not a single woman said anything. Nobody said anything because they were intimidated. They were afraid if they said something, you know, maybe he thought he was a woman. And so they didn't. And so this was the situation. And I was trying to give them an example of how seriously there is chaos, whether it's in our schools or transgender policy or whether it's in public restrooms in Target, that are the American people and the supporters of Donald Trump are facing some incredible obstacles. And the voices in Washington are primarily pro-LGBT. Those are the voices that are heard at the White House. They're the voices in Congress, and they need to hear other voices. And so I talked about religious freedom, and that was my part of it. So it was an important mm-hmm. meeting, and, you know, so we'll see what happens with that. But that's what I did yesterday.
The appointment of Neil Gorsuch, the judge from Colorado, to be the next Supreme Court justice, Sandy, are the Democrats going to really filibuster this and cause the Republicans to go and use the nuclear option, which will... are they really going to do this? And they can't even. There's no chance for them to win anyway.
Well, first of all, it's not a done deal that there won't be enough Democrats crossing over to give the Republicans the number of votes that they need.
Oh, you mean 60?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like this morning, Joe Manchin is. I don't even. In fact, since I haven't looked at the news in the last several minutes, so he could have made a decision, but I think he's on the fence, and if he decides to vote for Neil Gorsuch, you know, it could bring others along who are in those states that went for Trump, Democrats mm-hmm. whose states went for Trump. But second part of this is, yes, I do believe that the Democrats will proceed with a filibuster if Joe Manchin and others don't declare publicly that they'll support Gorsuch. And I don't believe, Tim, I don't believe it's a given that Mitch McConnell will break the filibuster rule. I don't know. But I just wonder if that's not the reason. This is speculation on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But this may be the reason why Chuck Schumer is so kind of cocky, giddy, because you have to understand that people like Mitch McConnell, like I would almost say worship the rules of the Senate. This honored body, this is our rules, and we don't break Senate rules. The Senate rules mean more to them,
yes.
It seems to me. Than
yes, but I knew it would take us 5 minutes for a challenge Sandy on something here.
Sorry, Tim.
I'm always have to do this.
Yes, you do.
I always have to. I take a bright, sunny outlook on life, Sandy. And no, I'm just kidding. I understand what you're saying completely, Sandy, because you've seen it 1,000 times over your career. I will say one thing that Mitch McConnell, as leader of the Senate Republicans, has said on the record. I saw him when Neil Gorsuch was announced, and that is he will be confirmed one way or another. So he made that public commitment. By that, to me, I was taking that he will use the nuclear option if necessary to get this nominee confirmed. So,
yeah, I hope that, boy, I want that to be true, and right. I'd be all for it, of
so
course.
So you're saying that you've been misled by the Republican establishment.
Is that right? Just a time or two, Sandy?
I would never say a word anything like that.
Okay, that's what I'm getting from you, though, Sandy. That's the vibe. That's the vibe I'm picking up.
They're the ones that had my mic turned off. I'm sure of it.
I knew it was the Republican establishment or the Russians. Somebody
that's
turned
right.
your mic down.
I know.
Thanks, Sandy.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right,
talk to you
bye-bye.
Soon.
Okay, you Sandy fans, don't email me.
Our people love Sandy.
I know you love Sandy more than you love me. Okay, I get it. Okay, don't email me. Okay, I'm having a good week. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.